Hello and welcome back to the Misfits podcast. This is an exclusive This is an exclusive episode on Spotify today. I'm joined by my co-hosts. I'm not the host, but my host, Fitz.
Yep. G'day, mate. Yep, doing well.
iNotorious, aka Matt.
Yeah, how you going, mate? Doing pretty good yourself, yeah.
Swagger Souls.
How you going?
And Toby on the tally.
Hello.
And I'm lost from this point on.
That was really well done, Miz. Good job.
Thank you.
Today,
like three of us attempted to do it, and then we all fucked up.
But today, we are actually in the Misfits Sesh Cave Discord because we are going to be hanging in out with some of the Patreon people.
That's right.
That's right. We're going to bring some people in. We're going to ask us a question, or maybe they got a story for us. Basically, we're just going to see who the hell these cunts even are, and if they have anything interesting to say.
Just see what's out there.
So. Yeah, we're going to be interviewing the patrons from our Patreon. Right. They're going to come listeners. On. They're going to prove themselves, see if they're as cool or cooler than we are. It's going to be very good.
Not that hard, so I'm sure.
No, it's really not that hard at all.
We're going to find, basically what we're going to do is we're going to find six people to be the new Misfits, and then they're just going to continue on from there.
Pog, I knew this was coming.
They'll just do the podcast for us and it'll be great. For the next generation. So let's hope we get lucky.
What about Iroh's left nut?
All right.
Iroh's left nut. All let's right. drag him in.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
My name is Kel. How's it going?
Good.
Hi, Kel.
Hi, Kel.
Hi, Kel.
Hi.
Is there anything that you would like to ask us or a story that you would like to share with us today on the Misfits podcast?
You know, I'll go with my question first. It's mainly for Matt and Swagger.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like with what I've been, you know, trying to do in like for career or whatever is like photography, and it's going to definitely be a lot of travel as well. I've also been interested in moving to Australia. So my question is, as people from the US, what was the move like from the US to Australia?
Oh, Matt, do you want to start off?
What was it like? Like, do you mean like any differences or like...
Kind of just like, you know, day-to-day life, you know, yeah, like changes, like such a big travel because, you know, you're going to a whole new continent.
Honestly, it wasn't
that. How did you adjust to Aussie culture?
Yeah, it wasn't really that weird, to be honest. Like, yeah. Kind of joke, it's like America's little brother. Like, when it was our first time traveling or leaving the country altogether. And when we first came here, like, it didn't really feel like we were in a different country, but it didn't feel like that foreign to us, if that made sense.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, actually. I remember you saying, it's really not that different.
Yeah, we said it's like mini America. It's like, imagine if America and Britain just like merged into this weird mass, and then that's where you travel to. The culture is cool as hell. Like, the people here are very chill. It obviously depends on like where you're going in Australia, but Melbourne, like by far, because I've been up in Sydney as well, and I prefer Melbourne like 100%. The culture down here is really cool. It's like LA without the homeless people and crack addicts and pedophiles.
Yeah, you just get the meth addicts.
That is pretty good.
Just meth addicts here.
Yeah, the methos are more enjoyable, anyways.
Yeah, they're funny. They have more character. People out here would just sleep.
Yeah, I live in the meth capital of California, so...
Oh, nice. As long good. As is the meth good, though?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, actually, it's really good meth, but, like, there's just so much of it, you know? It's like, it get harder to get.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, feel free to share some. Wait, what is the meth capital of California?
Fresno, California.
Fresno.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I mean, Australia is great. You should definitely come here. Toby, you actually did photography and have always been into photography. Like, if I, you know, Iroh mentioned that he was into that.
Yeah, yeah. Photography.
I don't know.
Yeah. What sort of photography do you do?
Well, I'm in college for it right now. So it's mainly just like whatever they're giving us. I haven't really found out what my main interest. I've been really more interested in like landscapes, you know, stuff like that. But I'm pretty much kind of like open for whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully someday we'll see you here in Melbourne taking photographs of the wildlife, the meth addicts. Just on the street. That'd be great. That'd be God's work. All right, Iroh. Well, thanks for stopping by, man. It was great talking to you. It's been
great, guys.
Yeah, no awesome. Worries. Get fucked. All right.
Get him out of here.
Okay, let's see what Jake OD has to say. Jake?
Hello.
Hey, mate. Hey, what's going on?
Are you going?
What is going on, buddy?
I'm great. I'm nervous, but I'm great.
No, I don't be nervous.
You sound Australian.
I absolutely am.
That's good to see.
Perfect.
Man. Whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Bendigo.
I got my fucking wheel alignment done up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty
probably
crazy.
A dodgy job, not gonna lie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you have a question or a story to share with us today on the Misfits podcast, Jake?
I've got both, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. But with the boys, I like to do some photos of all the merch I get because big fan of the merch.
Very cool.
Threads are sweet.
Thank you.
So this one time I was, I think it was after the Misfits Friends drop with the Friends logo.
Mm.
And we went up to this five-story car park. It was quite late at night, just before Christmas. So, you know, it was pretty dead in town. Had a nice view up on top of the car park. And drove the car up there and, like, didn't see any signs of the car park being closed at all. So we're like, oh, we'll venture up there and get some nice pics and then head out. So we made it to the top. We're up there for about an hour or so. As soon as we went out, the roller door was shut on us. So we had to call security and the bloke just started losing his shit at us and swearing at us. And we were just
on the phone.
Nothing. Yeah. We were nothing but apologetic. And this bloke rolls up, this like 7-foot dude, just like your typical security bloke.
Yeah.
And the bloke said, that's a $200 fine. And I'm like,
what?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that.
And I'm like, oh, we didn't see any signs of like trespassing or when the place was meant to close down. So, you know, since there was like nothing there, can you let us off on a warning or something like that? And he said, no, come with me or we'll call the cops. And because
I haven't shit out of him, I presume.
Fucking oath. Yeah, fucking oath.
So what did you do?
So I had my friends with me and I drove them there and I didn't want to keep them up or like, you know, because it was my fault because I decided to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get them home as quick as possible. So I'll pay the fine. And he's like, all right, do you have cash on you? And I'm like, cash.
That's sus as fuck.
Yeah, dude, that's a bribe. That's a huge bribe. He's extorting you.
I was a naive kid. I still am. I don't know what's going on. And so he's like, you got cash on you? And I'm like, oh, well, no. If I'm getting a fine, can't you just like mail it to me and I'll deal with it then? He's like, no, it cost me however much to open the roller doors past closing hours.
Yeah.
Comes up with this fucking oath. But then again, this falls back on a 7-foot dude that looks like he's about to staunch us kids.
Probably wasn't even a security guard. Probably just there.
Yep, just some bloke. And he's like, all right, there's an ATM down the road and you better be quick smart. You got 15 minutes. So I'm like, oh, I'm not leaving my car in. So I gave my friend my bank card and he ran down to the ATM, pulls out $200 and he's like, all right, that's it. And I'm like, that's it? Like, can I get a receipt or something like that so I can take this up further? And he's like, no. Nah. And he kicked us out and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
easy $200.
What a piece of shit.
Just pocketed that himself, didn't he?
Should have just punched him in the
fucking earth he would have.
I don't even know if he would have been able to reach his head.
Or the neck.
Fuck no.
Was it just you and one other mate?
It was two.
Oh, you would have been able to jump him.
No, if you saw us, we're pushovers.
Oh, fair enough.
As a gamers. Yeah. No, fair enough, man. That fucking sucks, dude.
That's all right, though, man. It was fucked here. The photos came out sweet. I'm laughing.
Yeah, well, but,
I've seen your photos before, actually.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, I definitely know I've seen someone out there who every drop posts some cool photos.
Could be me.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
Fucking oath. Just quickly, a question as well. I was wondering if you boys would be interested in getting the lads from 44 Castles or the design team for an episode. Like, I'd really love to hear some stuff about, you know, the process that comes behind designing all the merch and stuff like that.
It's actually not
a
bad idea.
Really good idea. They're actually all currently in Adelaide right now. We've been separated by the virus because Ryan and co sort of just decided to leave Melbourne when things locked down. So we haven't even seen those guys in the flesh for four or five months now
since lockdown.
That's
rough. Things are looking up here. So hopefully when restrictions lift and we can record the podcast in person again, we will get some of the boys on and
it'd be incredible.
Deep dive into how the art team works and everything, because it's definitely interesting and they do great work. So
yeah, they do. Yeah. God's work. Yeah. They're killing it.
They fucking crush it. Awesome, man. Okay. Thank you, Jake, for the story and the question. That was,
yeah, dude. Thanks for having me.
That was epic.
Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah. Nice meeting you.
Catch you guys later.
All right.
A lot of good idea.
Yeah, that is actually a good idea. Fucking gonna yoink that one for sure.
There's a place where celebs can be themselves. Thoughtful, random, and everything in between. It's on Rob Lowe's podcast, Literally with Rob Lowe, featuring people like Gwyneth Paltrow, Tiffany Haddish, and Chris Pratt. It's a look behind the curtain at Hollywood and life. Well, a listen behind the curtain if we're speaking literally. Follow Team Coco Podcast on Instagram for weekly lineups and listen to new episodes every Thursday on Spotify. At Last, a comedy podcast that answers the age-old question, what does a pompadour sound like? Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend features fantastic conversations with Conan and guests like Michelle Obama, Maya Rudolph, and Tom Hanks. And yes, those were name drops, because the guests are just that good. Speaking of drops, new episodes drop every Monday, so listen to the latest episode and follow on Spotify.
All right.
Who now?
We have Mace Op 12.
All right. Mace Op 12. Boom. G'day, g'day, g'day.
What up, bitch?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. How about you, boys? And girl.
And girl, that's great. We're doing pretty well.
We're inclusive.
Do you have a question or a story for us, my friend?
I have both, sir.
Okay, well, let's hear them.
All right, so my question for you, and I hope to God it isn't too deep, but I was going to ask if you think your YouTube career has sort of changed your personality, and if so, do you look back at yourself before YouTube and like, think, wow, I was a very different person.
Well, for sure. But I feel like the majority of it is just me growing as a person with new life experience. I would say that like YouTube has changed me, not because I'm just, you know, sitting down at my computer and making videos, but rather like the opportunities and the experience that I've gained as a result of having the YouTube channel, like moving to Australia, going to events, like that kind of thing, I feel like has changed me more, or at least fast-tracked my life so that like I get more mature, like more quickly. I would say really in that aspect, I have changed. But you know,
anyone else
couldn't have said it better myself.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, everyone's just a culmination of their experiences, and YouTube just happened to put us all into a different kind of lane. And has given us some really crazy experiences and put us in front of a lot of people, which definitely affects you as well. Like, I'm sure that we've changed, but you can't like look back at yourself when you're, you know, like I started my channel when I was 18. I'm 24 now, right? Like, that's a long time to grow as a person. Like, I look back at my old self and sure, I'm like, I think I was different, but yeah, that's normal, right?
I mean,
growing up.
Yeah, even anybody.
It's definitely strange growing up in front of like having people be aware of you and like know your stories and kind of know about your life a little bit. But I don't know. We don't really share too much about our personal stuff on the internet. So we're kind of, I think we've all stayed pretty grounded and aimed out to live like more or less normal lives despite everything. So,
I mean, like, even all people, like, they ask anybody, like, to look back on the last 5 years, like, they'll tell you, like, that they're a completely different person, or that, like, they've changed a lot. And that's just kind of a part of, like, how, like, people develop, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean,
does anyone else want to answer it, or should we move on to the story?
I mean, it's made me just lazy. I think that's about it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did you have a story for us, or do you want to follow up with any questions? Like, what do you reckon?
I was pretty curious because I was thinking, you know, as I don't remember who said it, but no matter what, you're going to look back at yourself as, you know, being a different person and changing. Mm. But I kind of figured, you know, fame, and I guess you'd call it fame. I don't know how you'd describe it, but
yeah,
I just didn't know if that kind of boosted it a little bit. So.
It's terrible, like, man. It's weird.
Yeah.
It for sure, like, creates weirdness, and I'm sure it's changed, like, all of us in ways that maybe we don't even, you know, realize, you know, at this point in time. But I think, like, I don't know, it's just another experience, really. Like, it does, like, this job isn't everything to us, right? Like, we have our lives, and we've changed in other ways too because of other experiences. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things. I mean, we are where we are. We've sort of just, you know, kind of going with the flow, rolling with whatever punches come our way, and yeah, hopefully fucking ended up decent as a result of it. That's the goal. So,
yeah.
Do you have any stories that you wanted to share?
Yeah. So I live in North Carolina in the U.S. I had tickets to see the live podcast in Boston in February. no worries there. I convinced my dad. I was like, you want to go to Boston? And I put him on the podcast, and he's been listening to it.
Oh, great.
And you know, I was spreading the word.
What did you think?
Letting everybody know. Oh yeah, he's a fan. Yeah.
You heard it first, dude. Misfits podcast, parent approved.
He very much enjoys you, Swagger. He thinks you're hilarious.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Shout out to Mesop12's dad. Shout the fuck out.
Yeah, and we are sorry about those shows in Boston. No, we were gutted about that. Like,
yeah, that was tough. Okay.
But so we already had the tickets when we found out, and we were like, screw it. Let's go to PAX. Mm. And my dad's kind of a nerd. I'm not gonna lie. He's been gaming, you know, since gaming was around.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went to PAX, and surprisingly enough, there you guys were. Wasn't expecting that until the day of, and someone was like, "Hey, I heard the Misfits are in the lobby." And I was like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna go check that out." Yeah. And I can't imagine you remember, but I had the backpack full of all the U2s.
Oh, and, I do remember.
Yeah. Okay. That was really cool for me, because it was a hell of a trip. Getting all those in a backpack and flying up the East Coast.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
I was just so happy when you guys were there. I was like, oh, hell yeah, they're going to, hopefully some of these guys will get to sign them. And I ended up getting all the signatures.
Beautiful. And, you didn't sell any on eBay, did you? You piece
of
shit?
No, hell no. I've got all of them.
Good, dude. All of them. Yeah,
I have very fond memories of meeting everyone in Boston, really. That was a really nice time in that in the lobby area when people were like, everyone we met was really dope. And I do actually remember a certain person with a backpack full of U2s.
That was a little wacky.
It was great meeting you then, and it's great meeting you again now, man. Thank you for listening to your story.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, no worries. No worries.
Everyone in the waiting room is just sweating down their ass crack, freaking out. Right? Yeah. we were calling it the claw machine from Toy Story.
People
getting dragged out. All right.
People are sharing their horror stories of what happened when they joined the lobby.
You mean to get fucked? Well,
all right,
awesome talking to you, dude.
Have a good one, dude.
Yeah, get fucked.
We're just gonna keep, like, as soon as we get people out, we're just gonna tell them get fucked.
Yeah,
why not?
That's fucking gold.
All right,
fuck. We need some comedy in this fucking podcast. All right, who's next?
We have Monty Kong next.
Monty Kong, coming on in.
Good day,
Monty
cunt.
Kong.
Hello.
How the fuck are you?
Hello.
How are you?
What's going on?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Yeah, doing pretty well.
Good.
Do you have a question or a story for us today, my friend?
I've got a story and I got a quick question.
Sure.
All right. Let's hear them.
I'll start with the story. So in year nine, so 2 years ago, I went to Japan for 2 months and stayed in a Buddhist monastery.
Holy shit.
That's really cool. Hey,
and because my stepdad trained as a Zen monk there.
Wow.
What the fuck?
What?
And he, since like year nine was probably like the worst year, like mentally and just in general for me. That's when I really started getting bad anxiety and depression. And he thought that, and I did shit all in school.
Right.
So he thought it would be a good idea to try this out. So we went there and we were in Japan, in Tokyo for about 3 days. And then we went on the bullet train to the monastery, which was about 2 hours out of Tokyo. It was 2 hours because it was really fast on the bullet train. But, and it was kind of like, we were just living with the monks. We would sleep, go to sleep at like 10 o'clock, wake up at 4:30, meditate for 2 hours.
No way.
Then we would eat breakfast, which was usually like rice porridge and some other small side dishes. Mm-hmm. Then we would go outside and do like yard work for about an hour. Come in, have like green tea, then do another 3 hours of work outside.
Wow.
Have lunch. And then we had like an hour of kind of recreational time.
What'd you do during recreational time with the monks?
I would usually sleep. Because I was
just, like, slap
really
their
tired.
Bald heads or anything like that. Like, slide around the halls.
I was slap my stepdad's bald head. I didn't have the balls to shave my head. So, And then, it would just be lunch, a little bit more yard work, and then meditation until dinner, and then another hour of meditation after dinner.
Did you enjoy the meditation?
It was difficult for the first maybe 2 weeks, but.
That sounds like a lot to adjust to.
Yeah.
How long were you there for again?
About 2 months, just over.
Oh, holy shit.
So like that sounds like a painful thing almost to adjust to. Like I couldn't imagine going from, I guess, like a normal fucking, I don't know, like living at home life where I guess you kind of have a lot of freedom perhaps to sort of the strict kind of routine of meditation and well-being maybe. Like what was that like adjusting to that?
Very difficult, especially since my life was really just, especially like on school days, I would wake up, take the bus, go to school, do no work, come home, into
sounds
bed.
Like me, man. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was in the exact same spot in year nine, actually. Fuck.
Same, actually. Wait,
do you feel like it helped you a lot, this experience?
Definitely. Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like a better person.
That's awesome.
When I came back.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did the meditation help you, you think, a lot?
It's it's just like we tried. I've kind of gone off it again. I do it occasionally, but I try as much as possible when I do it to try and like one of the things is really just focusing with like a straight back and just focusing on breathing, nothing else.
Just emptying your mind here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I experimented a fair bit with meditation last year, but I only went for like 10 minutes at a time. I couldn't imagine doing it for
like an hour.
Or more. That's a long time to be sitting still with your back straight.
Yeah.
Especially as a 14-year-old kid. That's,
yeah.
Or however old you were in year nine.
Yeah, 14, 15, about that.
Yeah.
So did time go by faster when you were meditating? Like, was there any, were you ever like in a meditation session that went on for like an hour? Where it felt like 10 minutes or felt like substantially shorter, or did it feel longer?
Definitely. Usually it felt pretty quick. There was some, once a month at that monastery day, they did a thing called a sesshin, which is pretty much just full meditation for the entire day.
Holy shit.
Damn.
With just very small breaks for like needing to go to the toilet and having meals. And there was no talking.
Wow.
So it would be like wake up at 4:30, meditate until 6:30, eat breakfast, meditate again for another like 3 hours,
Wow.
And then lunch, meditate for another 2-3 hours, dinner, meditate more, then go to bed.
Wow.
That was usually, they would usually do that on a weekend.
I reckon we should send Mason off to this
monastery.
I was
going to say, do you reckon this could kick my cigarette addiction?
Like, oh, for sure.
No, 100%.
Dude, you're 100%. Like, you go bald again.
I reckon I'll just go there. Yeah, I'll go bald again.
Actually become the avatar, you know?
Yeah.
Casually.
Yeah, even though there's like 70% of Japan are smokers, but in those monasteries, there's like it's not allowed.
Yeah, so right. Obviously. And obviously.
There were a few people that were kind of, because there was other people all around from different countries. There was people from Germany. There's other people from Australia, people from Europe, all over Europe and stuff, and America coming here because they wanted to either experience it or maybe they had an addiction or something. They wanted to kind of knock on the head.
That's such an incredible experience. I'm actually really interested and want to ask you a bunch of questions about this. Like, were the monks, were they like fun guys? Did they like have a laugh or were they quite serious? Like, how were the monks?
Some of them were. Some of them were just like big egos, I guess. Just feel like they're better than you, especially like the Japanese ones. They felt like they were just kind of, you were tiny compared to them. So
They were enlightened.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or at least they were.
Yeah. Do you feel that you reached some kind of enlightenment on your trip? Like, how did you feel leaving that place? Like, did you?
Did
it change you a lot?
I definitely don't think I felt that much enlightenment. I just felt very, I guess, refreshed.
Mm. Yeah. Did it help with your depression at all at the time? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, awesome.
I came back like recently in the last year. It's kind of come back, but especially with COVID.
I can imagine.
But one COVID case in Melbourne today.
It's pretty popular.
You're from Melbourne. Yeah, we're doing well here. Everyone's excited.
So, but yeah, that's like after, especially like leaving on the train from being there for 2 months and like not leaving there it was kind of like that everywhere else was like alien kind of.
Right. Yeah. So, it was like a culture shock returning to society, right? Like, what was it like just going home and having TV and shit again?
It was weird.
Do you think
like
by the end you didn't want to leave?
Probably like half and half. Cause I missed my mom and my sister and my friends. But then at the same time, I felt like it was so cool that I would just kind of wanted to experience it longer.
Yeah. Would you ever go back and do something like that again?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Incredible.
I kind of said that like my mom and my sister wanted to go as well. So we wanted to go to Japan this year, but we can't really.
Right.
Yeah.
And same. We were going to try and do that. But,
damn. Actually, no, I kind of want to do it. Yeah. We all just go as a group.
It's really cool. Even if you just go for 2-3 weeks.
I wonder if they'd let us film.
I doubt it.
We'd have to find a place that was cool with it, I guess, maybe. But
there were people that were taking a lot of photos because he was a reporter, a small kind of town reporter. And he would take photos and then he had like a newsletter kind of thing that he would post online with photos of the monks and stuff. And they just kind of allowed it. But filming, that's tough. It would be dependent on what the Roshi, which is the head monk, would kind of feel. Cause it's kind of, obviously it's his monastery. So
for sure.
Yeah. I reckon we could persuade him. We'll just get Mason to go in there and be like, "Oi, mate, we're fucking, I don't know." But Mason would lead the group. All right. That's crazy, man. What an insane story. Like, that's a really unique experience.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Did you have a question for us as well? So we don't take up too much
time. Yeah, it was just about how all of you, because I'm sure at least some of you have experienced anxiety and depression. How have you kind of dealt with that, I guess?
I mean, that's a heavy
one. I'm struggling with that, especially now.
I mean, as I said,
to ask.
You know, it's fine to ask. I'm not, I mean, obviously everyone, you know, doesn't have to fucking get super vulnerable here, but I for sure at the same, around the same time as you, was experiencing similar things with school and depression, right around year 9 for me, when I was like 14. Really the thing that fixed it for me was just a change of environment. You know, that's when I went to a different school and I, you know, changed the people I was surrounding myself with, and I changed the way that I was approaching education, and that for me was everything. Like, so yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of the time, obviously depression isn't always situational, but a lot of the time it is heavily dependent on your situation or the people you're surrounding yourself with. So I guess just taking a look at that and changing, and, you know, moving away from the things that make you feel bad and moving towards the things that make you feel good helps. Yeah. I would also say that exercise and just generally kind of being good to yourself kind of keeps it at bay as well whenever it returns.
That's what I've kind of forcing myself to do nowadays. I'm going for a run every morning, which really kind of changed stuff.
That's awesome. One thing I would say that has been a problem for me is be careful not to develop a tyrannical relationship with yourself where, like, if you don't go on the run, then you feel like a piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, you need to make sure that you're actually doing it from a place of like, oh, like, I'm doing this because I feel good after. And like, that's, you know, because for me, definitely I got to a point where it was like, if I'm not, you know, being perfect, if I'm not like going for a run and eating well, then I'm basically like, you know, I would beat myself up about it. And that's not good. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone else wants to chip in. I mean, fucking pretty heavy question. So, but yeah.
I mean, I'd say you answered pretty well.
Yeah. I feel with like anxieties and things, it's important to realize like why the anxieties happen and like where they come from, and then figure out like with yourself if the anxieties are rational or if they're irrational anxieties. And then if they are irrational, like figuring out ways that you can push yourself through the anxieties into the situations and stuff that you might want to avoid, or that your like head might be telling you to avoid.
Yeah.
So that you can get to a state where you are comfortable in the situations that previously made you uncomfortable.
Therapy helps a lot with that, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, to build upon that one, the suggestion I heard was like with figuring out like what anxiety is rational and what isn't, is like actually writing it down. Because how you imagine things in your head is completely different when you have to like make it a cognitive thought and like actually write it down and like put it on paper. Then you could realize really quickly, it's like, yes, it's completely rational.
For sure. Yeah, I guess it's just about finding out what works for you, right? Because everyone's different. Yeah. Everyone responds to the world differently. Everyone responds to situations differently. And just about accepting like that you are who you are, and it's up to you to figure out, you know, how you make your way through the world. And just discovering
and,
like
and
how
talking
to combat
about it is always great.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have known how supportive everyone was going to be about the trans stuff if I didn't talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was what made me comfortable, like, taking the step, was seeing the support that people gave me. And, you know, if I never spoke about it, if I just, like, left it inside, then I never would have known that.
And there's freedom in confronting that, right? Because, like, you know, as soon as you came out, of course, there was overwhelming support. Then it's like, oh, like, now I'm, now it's done. And now I, you know, now I can move on from that challenging decision.
Yeah
I don't know, it's obviously a personal thing, but that would be, I guess, what
I'd say. Thank you guys, that was
thank you,
that was helpful.
No worries, man, thank you for your story. That was actually really interesting. I'm like now fascinated to try that someday myself, going staying with some monks. Shave my head again, see what happens. Fuck it. All right, man, well thanks for stopping by, thanks for being on the show.
Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
Yeah,
use code misfits on
GG. GamersOps.gg. Thank you.
Appreciate
for how much percent off, Monty?
10% off.
There you go.
That's it. 10%. All right. Thank you for coming on the show, man.
Thank you. Giving me this opportunity.
It's so funny every time. All right.
Let's go with Morgan.
Morgan.
Hello.
Morgan.
What's going on, Morgan Freeman?
And they're dead. That's awesome. Thanks for
coming. I'm not dead.
Oh, there we go.
I'm sorry. I'm on mobile, so I was trying to talk in the other chat when you pulled me in. Sorry.
Oh, it's all good. This is Misfit Swear Jar, right?
It is.
Hello. Hello, Morgan. You've been counting our swears on the show for some time now.
For about 2 years now, yeah. Actually, yeah, we just had the 2-year anniversary.
For
our listeners that don't know, Morgan here, after every episode, tallies up each time that we swear. And I have to say, the total is getting frightening.
And when you guys swear at the same time, it's a real pain. So thank you for this great start.
Sorry.
No worries, Bob.
You're good. I'm waiting till I get paid and it'll all pay off.
You're going to get paid?
I'm not. I know I'm not.
Yeah, no. If anything, like, we've played around with the idea of, like, you know, after, like, some kind of milestone or some kind of anniversary of the podcast, we'd get
the $20,000 milestone.
I have no idea. I don't know what we're even
nice
at right
the
now.
Number up there. We got to get our numbers up.
It could be cool to, like, you know, as a company, like, donate the money that we owe to a charity or something
like
that.
That would be really
awesome. That's been
an
idea that we've played around with. But, you know, $20,000 just isn't enough. So maybe we'll wait till we hit like $50,000 and then go with that. So we could start now.
$30,000 of that will be swagger.
Yeah, fuck. Wait, what's the most? What's the most money per swear?
Anything that gets beeped. So, like, last week, Mason said somebody's name and that got beeped. And so I did count that because it's ambiguous. Right. I can say it was a swear. Thank you.
It's Morse code in swear.
Jesus, you kissed your mother with that mouth?
Yeah, I was swearing in Morse code.
Yeah.
I'm just going to count that as one. That's a lot of counting.
Well, you've been doing God's work for a while. Here you are on the show. Do you have a question or a story for us, Morgan?
I want to know what made you decide to start Misfit Swear Jar.
Yeah.
The Misfit Swear Jar started because another podcast I was into had its own swear jar, and the Achievement Hunter Off Topic podcast on Tumblr has a swear jar. Or actually, no, it's technically on Reddit, but they post when they post it on Reddit, they post it on Tumblr as well. And I saw that and I was like, that'd be kind of funny. I was only going to do it for like a few episodes, and then it just kept getting followers. And I was like, well, I'll disappoint people if I stop, so I got to keep going. But I was actually throwing around the idea of doing the Goons podcast, of having a swear jar for them.
Man, you want to take on more work?
I think
work?
That would be fun.
You're insane. Morgan, would you like to share a story with us?
Oh, my clotheslining a small child story on accident.
Sure.
That sounds absolutely great.
Better than clotheslining a small child on purpose. I guess.
It's honestly, it's the intention. The intention was, I didn't mean to do it, but I was working,
it felt good.
I was slave labor, basically, because they were like, you're a teenager, you need this. I was like, I work so much, I don't need this. And they were separating the class because I'm one of the second degree black belts. I was one of the black belts at the studio. I moved now. And they were separating the class and the master was like, all right, this kid goes that way. And he points to me and the kid ran at me. So I put my arm out to stop him and he just slammed into it, just took him down. And then I wasn't prepared for that. So when his legs went under me, I went down too. I was so...
Congratulations, you clotheslined yourself.
The instructor looked so disappointed in me. Like, it was honestly one of the worst things ever.
Yeah, there's actually nothing worse than unintentionally hurting a child, like, I will say.
It feels so bad.
I have a lot of stories of accidentally doing that because I babysit a lot. I took a kid ice skating.
Why do they keep hiring you, Morgan, if you're so irresponsible with these kids?
Because they know my parents and they think I'm responsible. And so they're like, this is a responsible teenager and she's willing to babysit our kids for any price we give her. So, woo. I took a kid ice skating and he wanted me to like throw him across the room because I was stable. Yikes. He was not. And so I grabbed his arm and I tried to swing him, except he had never ice skated before. So he just fell backwards.
That's how we taught swagger.
Okay, yep. Morgan, I want you to throw me against this wall as hard as you can. Okay, trust me, I do this all the time with my parents. Let's fucking do it anyway.
Because when I was his age, I was taking lessons, so I knew how to skate. I could do that.
I see.
And then another story is have you done the thing where you grab a child's arm and you spin in a circle so their legs leave the ground and you're spinning like a helicopter?
Yeah, the funnest part is when you let go.
I love doing that.
What's funny is I did let go. Oi. And dropped a I threw a kid into his sister.
There was
double whammy
working.
There was a commercial in New Zealand.
Two for one.
About alcoholics. And the alcoholic dad did that with the kid and then accidentally smacked him into a wardrobe.
New Zealand drinking ads.
I hate when you do that.
Wow. Okay. Well, known child abuser Morgan, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Known child abuser and a misfit swear jar.
Misfit swear jar, the swear counter. Thanks for coming on the fucking show. You've been a fucking legend. An absolute sick cunt, I will say.
Thank you. I can't wait for that $100,000or $50,000 is what you said.
Yeah.
So we can donate that to charity, wink, wink, aka my college fund, so
okay,
I can afford
Morgan.
To live.
Okay, all right. Time's up, buddy. Bye, Morgan. Get fucked. And that is it for the first Discord Patreon Q&A. Thank you very much for listening, guys. And thank you for your questions. We hope you enjoyed listening to this little Spotify exclusive episode.
Yeah, we had some nice good stories, guys. And I think we'll have we have a decent amount more in the next couple of episodes that are bound to come out soon.
That's right. They'll be dropping over the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned and we'll see you there.